Today, Shiur Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Lamed Hei Omer Aleph. We're in the middle of Siman Chaf Hei, and actually in the middle of Siman Yud Beis. We were talking yesterday about what happens if your knot is either ripped or interrupted, it unties during the putting on of the Shoyad and the Shorosh, and we continue with that discussion today. And the Mechaber begins, Im Hutar Shoyad. Kodem Hanocha Shorosh. If the Shoyad becomes untied, the knot on the Shoyad becomes untied prior to your putting on the Shorosh, Mahatkan, you go and tighten it, Vein Tzorech Lachzor Levorach, and you don't have to make a new bracha. And this is a similar idea to what we talked about yesterday. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot Nun Aleph explains and says that the Kesher became unraveled. V'adin Im Nishmetu Mimekomen, the same thing Halacha would apply if it was moved from its place. And when it talks about that the Sharosh is in its place, it means that it was tightly in its place. That the mitzvah putting on the tefillin means tying them in the Shayat and the Sharosh and binding them in their proper place. So again, the idea here, the Mechaber explains, is that if the person hasn't completed the mitzvah, so then the original bracha still applies. However, he writes, Abol Miniach Shorosh. If you did put on the Shorosh and you placed it into its place tightly, and then only afterwards, Yachakahuta Shoyad, then the knot on the Shoyad unraveled, then the Mechaber writes, Mahadek Umivorach. You have to retighten the Shoyad and you make a new brach on it, as was his Shita yesterday in the earlier part of the Sif, that each time you put on a tefillin, you have to make a new brach. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot Nun Beis writes, this is no different than if they came out of their place. Unraveling the knot and moving out of its place are the same thing. Likewise, he says, if the Shorosh unraveled or became out of its place, also, you have to go and retighten it. When you retighten it, you have to make a new bracha. However, he then brings down, the Mishneh Berurah brings down what we learned yesterday, that there's the opinion of the Shalah that disagrees. That which we learned from the Shalah yesterday, who says that the davening is considered one entity, then as long as you have, during the davening, the tefillin on your head, and it became out of its place, or if the knot became loose and you tightened it, you would not, according to the Shalah, required to make a new bracha. Then the Mechaber has a very important new din. He says, Mutu levarech al tefillin she'ulin, below al gezulin. A person is permitted to take a borrowed pair of tefillin, certainly if you borrowed it with permission, and make a brach on that. However, if it was a stolen pair of tefillin, then you can't use it and you can't make a brach on it. Dear Shino 58 reminds us that we had already discussed previously how important it is for every person to own their own pair of tefillin, and one should not on a regular basis borrow someone else's tefillin, even with permission, for the many reasons, and the Bach brought down that if you do this on a regular basis, it's actually a tremendous onus, especially without permission, and even if you do have permission, it may not fit you right. You may have to adjust the knots, and that will cause the person to have problems. He doesn't know how to adjust the knots, and therefore, for many reasons, we recommended that unless a person is truly destitute, he shouldn't be borrowing tefillin, he should purchase his own pair of tefillin. The Mishneh Berurah adds in Sivkot Nun Gimel that even when you're borrowing the tefillin without permission, afilu b'shol shelo midas mutter, one can make the bracha because we have the principle that we've discussed also previously, the nichle li'inish lema'avid mitzvah b'mamone, that a person can presume that other people will be happy that they're doing a mitzvah with his property. That's assuming he leaves it in the shul in public place, not locked up. One can assume that probably a person will not object that they use it for this. However, the Mishneh Berurah does point out, Rakshi Yakaplaim Kavarishon, you have to put it back properly, fold it up exactly the way that it was. Velo Yotsimi Mokom Harishon, you're not allowed to take it from its place, so the person will be upset that it's not where he left it. Kimo Betalis Lael, like we learned all these halachas by the Talis previously in Siman Yud Dalet. The Bach again pointed out previously, and this is alluded to in Dirshu, note 59, that this should only be done to borrow somebody else's tefillin without permission on a very irregular basis. But if you do it every day, it would be awesome. Now, Locha Brewer brings down even more strongly. Number one, if you don't fold back up the person's tefillin, you're considered a gazlan. If you don't put it back in the right place, it's wrong, and your bracha is, in retrospect, the bracha of Atollah. And then he furthermore says, if you have any inkling that that person is makbid, as many people are today, he says it's also lakachas tefillin below rishus. You certainly shouldn't take that. And he adds, a yari shemayim should never take a pair of tefillin unless he's asked the owner specifically, can I please borrow your tefillin? Because nowadays many people are makbid and they just won't say so. And if you have even the slightest suffix that the owner is makbid, yeshlochus le'iser gezel imenichon, it's a concern of here of robbery, that you, if you put on these tefillin, and certainly you shouldn't make a bracha on it unless he says you have permission of the owner. Regarding a stolen pair of tefillin, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Nudalad writes, the havilei mitzvah bo bi'aveira, if you take a stolen pair of tefillin, so that it's a mitzvah that came about through an aveira, and afilu achar yush, v'afilu b'di'evit, even if you now know that the person has given up hope of ever giving his tefillin back, and even if it's a b'di'evit situation, lo kiyem mitzvah tefillin, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah tefillin by putting on a stolen pair of tefillin. Dirshu note 60 points out that if you purchase tefillin on credit and you didn't pay the person and he's looking for your money and you haven't paid him and you are not giving him an inclination that he will get paid, so then it's also considered like geneva in that situation and you can't be yotzi with such a pair of tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah does point out, however, ach im macharat tefillin li achar yeyush li achar, if you purchased a pair of tefillin from somebody who stole them, and now it's after the Eyush when you purchased it, so the Magen Avraham and the Machzis HaShekel elsewhere bring down that in that situation, Yuchal HaSheni Levarach, the person now buying the tefillin would be allowed to go and make a bracha on them, because in this situation, it's after Eyush, and it's after the Shinui Rishush. It had both the Eyush and Shinui Rishush aspects to make it permissible. The Halacha Berurah brings down, of course, this is not ever recommended that a person knowingly buy something that is stolen. This would only really be in a situation where you only found out subsequently afterwards you were yotzei the mitzvah. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz and the Gra, who say, behedja, specifically, the b'chol gavni osa levarach, you should never make a bracha on a stolen pair of tefillin, of course, knowing that you know that it's stolen. However, the le'inyan lotzeis b'hem, mashma divir agot yotzei b'hem, but technically, after the fact, you were yotzei putting on tefillin, chachila, do not make a bracha. The reason you shouldn't make a bracha is because of the principle Botzea Beirech Nietz Hashem, the famous pasuk from Tefillin, Kapitel Yud, Pasuk Gimel, which says that a person makes a bracha on a stolen item that antagonizes Hashem, that upsets Hashem. However, the Mishnah Berurah does bring down an alternative opinion from the domestic Eliezer that says that the second purchaser who didn't do anything with Gezel, who didn't do anything wrong over here, would be allowed to go make a bracha in this situation. It's important to point out again, the Halacha Berurah brings down from Choshen Mishpat, im kodem hakniya, if before you purchased it, no delosha tefillin gezulos o genuvos, if you know before you purchased this pair of tefillin that it is a stolen pair of tefillin, also liknosim, you're not allowed to. So we're only talking again here about a bidyevit situation, somebody paid a lot of money, has purchased a stolen pair of tefillin, cannot find the person who originally owned it, would be allowed in that situation to go and make a bracha on it, according to this opinion brought down by the Mishnah Berurah from the domestic Eliezer. Sif Yud Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Noagu ha'olam shalo lachlots tefillin ad acher kedushas uvolutzion. The custom, the Mechaber writes, is that people do not take the tefillin off until after the kedusha that is found in the tefillah of uvolutzion. The reason for this is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Nunhei, in the name of the Magen Avraham, she'ein mashin aleihem yosem and achiyah, because nowadays, the tzrichin guf naki, we need to wear the tefillin when we're mind and body are clean, and that's very difficult for many people. V'akol l'fi mashu adam, im ein lo guf naki, u'misyori shem yafiach, yisalk miyod. So therefore, when you come to the last point, so to say, where you have to have your tefillin on, which is Uvol Tzion, you can take it off as soon as you said the Kedusha of Uvol Tzion, because you're concerned about having your tefillin on and you can't keep a guf naki. But every person obviously is different. And if you can keep a guf naki, you've somehow managed to keep it until that point, so then you certainly should leave it on longer, as we will explain in a moment. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah explains, this is the understanding. Why did people take off their tefillin after Shacharis? Mishum hochi ein rov ha'olam no'agim la'anichon kol hayom. Nowadays, because of this reason of not being able to keep a sound body and a sound mind, a clean, pure body and mind, so most people do not wear their tefillin all day. They take them off sometime after Shacharis. The Berurah then brings down the Arizal, who writes, Shelo yecholetz ad achar alkei nekavelucha. He wouldn't take off his tefillin until he said, in the second part of Aleinu, in the alkei nekavelucha, at that point, he would take off his tefillin. And the Halacha Berurah brings down in the name of various achronim that the reasoning behind the Arizal, the hainu kidei sheyomru im hatfillin, that you should say while you're still wearing your tefillin, liros mehera b'sifares uzecha. The sifares refers to over here, tefillin nikru pe'er. Mishnah Berurah then brings down that on a day that you have a bris milah, roi shelo ilachlots ad achar milah. One doesn't take off the tefillin until after the bris milah. Why is that? Kimila he os utfilin heim os, because the tefillin and the bris milah both represent an os, and therefore they should both be there at the same time. Dirshu notes 65 and 66 bring down several additional interesting ideas related to a bris milah. He brings down when the bris milah is on Rosh Chodesh, and we have the minhag, according to many, to take off the tefillin for Musaf, so then the Shulchan Malachim brings down that such a Baal bris should be chozer v'yilbash es ha-tefillin acha Musaf l'kovet ha-milah. Should actually go put back on the tefillin after Musaf is the Baal bris. In regards to Purim and a bris milah, Ein lachlots ad la'achar kriyas ha-megillah, because Chazal say that the yikar that we refer to in the Megillah, elu ha-tefillin. Then we have the question, on Shabbos and Yontif, if we don't wear the tefillin, specifically peturim in ha-tefillin, mishum shem atzman os, because they're in os, v'menichim bahem os acher zilzulhu la'os shalahem, because Shabbos and Yontif are in os, and putting on the tefillin, so to say, would embarrass or be mezalzel, it would denigrate the os of Shabbos and Yontif. So how come we say to put on the tefillin at a bris? It would seem from this reasoning that you should bedavka take off the tefillin before a bris. So the Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal writes, Sha'os eino maise hamila, that the os that we're referring to is not the maise hamila, elamashu mol, it's the fact that a person has a bris mila already done to him. And therefore, yesh la'av limola satino ki hash tefillin alav. Therefore, the father should bedavka be wearing the tefillin when he does the bris mila on his child. Kedei litein tam l'maisa mila, to show and demonstrate that the purpose of the mila over here is laharoshu maiso shel nesinas os. It's the act of creating the os in the child. However, there are other poskim who bring down in the name of the smag a different reason. Shel olam tzorich shnei osos shu kishnei edim. A person should always have two osos, like two witnesses testifying about him. On a weekday, b'chol, it's the milah and the tefillin. And on Shabbos, it's the milah and Shabbos. The Ramah then writes, V'yesh mi shekosav al tzad ha-kabbalah. There are those who bring down because of Kabbalistic reasons. Shelo lachtzos, one shouldn't take off the tefillin until ad she'omar behem shalosh kiddushos v'arba kaddishim. Until one has said three kiddushos and four kaddishes, four kaddishim. The Hainuli Achakid Kaddish Yosom, which would mean after the Kaddish Yosom that comes after Oleinu. For Hochi Noagim Hamidachikim, the Ramah says, based upon the Pesach Einayim and the Sefer HaMusar, that this is the proper way that one should conduct oneself. The Halacha Brura brings down poskim that say that these three shows refer to the Kedusha that we say in the Brachos of Kriyashma, the Kedusha that we say as Kedusha in Chazaras HaShatz, and the Kedusha over here in Uval Utsion. Those are the three Kedushos. And the Arba Kadeshim refer to the Chatzi Kaddish after Baruch Hu, the Chatzi Kaddish after Shmona Esrei, the Kaddish Tiskabel after Uval Utsion, and the Kaddish Yosom that we say after Oleinu. And he explains, this is how the Ramah, in his commentary on the Torah called the Darkei Tshuva, brings this down, and he says, V'chein Pasach Ba'agokan. This is the simple way to understand the Ramah over here, that one should take off the tefillin only after the Kaddish Yosom that we say after Oleinu. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a totally different understanding over here, and in Simf Kot the Nun Vav, he writes that this is actually a printer's error in the Ramah, and he says, Tol Sofer Hu, U'be'emes Tzorich Lomar, and the proper girsa should be Shalosh Kaddishim. There are only three Kaddishes over here, and Arba Kiddushos, and four Kiddushas, because he counts the Baruch Hu as Hashem. That we say, Baruch Hu, Nechshav Chod, that's Kiddusha number one, Shehi Dover Shebe Kiddusha, because it's a holy item. U'Kiddusha Sofa Berura Shniot, the Kiddusha that we say in the Birchas Kriyashma, that's number two. Kiddusha Amida, the one after we say Chazar Sashatz, the Kiddusha, the classical Kiddusha, that's number three. And the Kiddusha of Olutzion, that's number four. And what are the three Kaddishes? He only counts the Chatzi Kaddish Shekodim Baruch Hu, that's one. Chatzi Kaddish Shela'acha Tula Shudches, that's two. The one at the end of Shmon Esri after Tachnun. And then the Kaddish Sholim, the Kaddish Deskabel after Volutzion, that's number three. But the Mishnah Berurah then states, Mikom Mokom, Mashma, Primi Godim, Shar Achronim. So the Primi Godim and other Achronim say, the Mikom Moshenoagim Lomar Kaddish Yosom, Choyom Acholenu, like we do, where we say, Yosom after Olenu every day. Don't take him off until after that Kaddish Yosom. He then brings down V'anoshim Shenoagim Lekapel Atalas Utfilin Ulanichon Betikon B'yes Amiris HaKaddish. Those people that are taking off the tefillin during the Kaddish, that's not right. Lo Yofehein Osin. That in fact is something that's wrong. The Ma'od Yesh Lachavin Banias Omen Yesh Meirabah. A person has to have tremendous kavanah when he's saying Omen Yesh Meirabah, as we'll learn later on. And he says, V'Omen Yesh Meirabah Ba'od Mamadrega Gavoa Yosem Kedusha. Answering Omen Yesh Meirabah is a higher level of the davening, even than Kedusha, as the Morgan of Rome will bring down as well. Ubevadai Lo Gora Mishar Brachos Drabonim. The Otsu Lasos Afilu Tashmish Kal B'Shoshum Varach. As you're not allowed to do anything when you make any brachos, certainly when you answer Omen Yesh Meirabah, a person should be very careful to listen carefully and not be taking off his talis and tefillin during that time. We will learn much more about tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam later on. However, in Dirshu Note 68, he brings down, HaMiniach tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, Acha Shecholat tefillin de Rashi, those that put on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam after they take off Rashi's tefillin, so we'll learn later on, Lo Yachlot Tzesat tefillin de Rashi ad La'achar Azmanim Vurakan. They still shouldn't take off the tefillin Shel Rashi prior to the times that we've been talking about over here. And they should not do it during the Chazaras HaShatz right after Kedusha, as unfortunately there is a custom to do. And certainly one should not be taking off the talis and tefillin during Chazaras HaShatz. One has to pay very careful attention during this period of time. Indeed, the Prima Gadim is very, very strong against those that put on the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin during Chazaras HaShatz. There are over two things, not having the tefillin of Rashi on at the right time, and also wasting their time during the Chazaras HaShatz taking off the tefillin instead of listening to the Chazaras HaShatz. The Marsham and others are also very opposed to this, and therefore the correct practice would be to put on the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin for those that put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin after the proper time to take off the Rashi tefillin has occurred. And we'll learn more about the whole concept of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin later on when we learn that halachos. This concludes today's shiur.